good singing this evening. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Matthew 27. Matthew chapter 27. Can you hear me all right? Good. Matthew 27. We're going to be looking here in verse 15. Matthew 27, verse 15. When you find it, please stand. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you? Barabbas, or Jesus, which is called Christ. For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with this, that with that just man, that being Jesus? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whither of the twain will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Dear Lord, bless this day, bless this word. God, I pray that you would help us to tune in, Lord, and to glean what you'd have for us. We ask it in your name. Amen. Be seated. We go on to read that Pilate said unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all said, say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. And they said, Give us Barabbas. That would have been an interesting place and time to be. That had been a unique situation to behold. That would be a puzzling situation to behold. Here we have a rather strange custom where it was customary at the feast to release unto the people a prisoner. Now, because the Roman Empire was the Roman Empire, not all of their prisoners were worthy of incarceration, because some of their prisoners were prisoners of religious uprisings. And there were people who, like Jesus, weren't guilty of anything except telling the truth. And so this was a custom to where the governor of the Roman over the Jews would be nice once a year, and they would allow the people to vote on who they would release. And this was how you would get quote-unquote innocent people released by vote. It's an odd thing. It was a custom they had. Well, this time came about where the feast of the governor and was wont to release from the people a prisoner whom they would. Understand that, whom they would. It's the people's choice. The governor particularly didn't have much bias toward it. Now, he has some in this situation. But it's an odd situation where the governor is releasing unto them whomever they would. And their choices were in my opinion, pretty simple. It says here that there was a notable prisoner called Barabbas. See, he had notoriety, probably for a bad reason. I don't think he was there for stealing a loaf of bread. I don't think he was there for knocking over someone's cart. I don't even think he was there for defacing anything of the Roman government. No, he was probably there for murder. We know that he was guilty. We know that he was barbaric. He was called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Who will ye that I release unto you? Again, the choice appears to be the people's. Barabbas or Jesus, which is called the Christ. Now, even Pilate knew that he was there because of envy against him. He knew it was a sham. He knew it was staged. He knew that Jesus was only there because the Pharisees and the religious uppity-ups were mad. And therefore, they said, get this guy out of our sights, take care of him. And the Roman government just solved that problem and took Jesus into custody. Unlawfully, innocent, beyond reproach. We even know, and this is for the pastor, we even know that they brought false witnesses against Jesus. They couldn't even find someone that had any, quote unquote, dirt on Jesus. His testimonies were all fake. His accusations and his charges were all bogus. And here he is being pitted against a convicted Barabbas. Someone who was notable. They knew who he was. More than likely, he was a menace to society. There's a reason he was in there. But we see the people's choice continue to pop up whom they would in verse 15. Whom will ye in verse 17? Verse 21, will ye that I release unto you? With all these choices given to them, and with knowing all the facts, they still chose Barabbas. Boggles my mind. If we had that today, we pick a notable religious figure, we toss him in jail, we pick a convicted criminal, felony charges, murder, whatever heinous crime you want to toss on. And you say, whom will ye have released? I really don't think that there'll be much worry, much question. There'll be some Facebook debate, but nothing serious. Well, obviously this guy. Why? Well, he's innocent. If not innocent, he's better than the other option. He's the lesser of two evils. Everything about this situation demanded Christ's release. Everything about this profession, this option, this choice demanded Christ's innocence and demanded Christ's freedom. But against all odds, per se, against all counsel, against all truth, against all that is holy, just, and true, they chose Barabbas. Why? Tonight we're going to talk about why Barabbas? Why did they say, give us Barabbas? Well, we know how the story goes. We know that it was prophetic. We know that it was God's plan. But you got to understand, God doesn't manipulate. God doesn't play the cloak and dagger. He doesn't force folks. This choice came about not because God willed it, but because God allowed it. I want to clarify that. We often look at the scripture and we think, well, the Lord had this in His will, therefore it happened against all odds. But the truth of the matter is, this isn't God manipulating the people saying they must choose Jesus. This is a free choice. God doesn't give us robotic brains. This is a free choice they had. God simply removed Himself from the situation and let them make the choice they truly desired. You're telling me they truly desired to kill and murder an innocent man? Yes. They truly desired to let a criminal, convicted menace to society go free? Yes. Why? This makes no sense. Why would they want that? Three reasons why Christ was their personal menace. He wasn't there because it was, I wanted to make sure I draw this line very clearly. We're approaching this with the understanding that God and Him incarnate and Jesus' death, was His crucifixion was brought about not because of God's plan and purpose, but because of Christ's reason for coming to this earth. He came to die so that we may live. He was going to die, and the reason he is chosen here to die is not because of the will of God, it's because God, and I'm not trying to confuse you, but it's because God allowed man to make the choice. Did Christ have to die? No. God would have found another way. We even see him weeping in the garden, surrendering to it. We even see him telling the Lord, Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do. We even see Christ, while he's being nailed to the cross, defending us, fighting for us, loving us. It's because the choice to give up his life was his. But the choice to be condemned to a cross was made by the sinners whom he was subjected to. I want to be clear. I'm not saying God's will wasn't involved here. I'm saying God, through his perfect understanding, knew that when given a choice, we would choose sin. Why is that? Because we're imperfect creatures. God knew that if he gave this choice, and this is why the story is in the Bible. It's not there for this picture of how poor Jesus is. It's not there for the picture of, oh, poor Jesus. No, it's not a picture of Jesus's, I want to say this carefully. It's not a picture of Jesus's for the sympathy of Jesus. It's a picture to show his love toward us. He went to this trial, all powerful, all God, all man, knowing he'd be convicted to a cross. He went to the cross, all God, all man, knowing he'd be nailed to that cross. He was raised up on that cross, and he gave up his life, all God, all man, knowing that he was paying for the sins of all of us. He did this. He subjected himself to this for his love and for our benefit. But this choice here boggles my mind consistently. Why would we choose Barabbas? What was so evil in our minds at this point about Jesus? But then I have to understand that we make this choice consistently. I want to show you what I'm talking about. Three reasons why they chose Jesus. Number one, Jesus upset their religious system. He came in and told them that what they had believed in, what they were practicing, wasn't true gospel. And it wasn't. They'd taken the word of God and they twisted it and they turned it to their own will. But he came and upset their religious system by showing them their faults. And number two, he convicted them of their lifestyle. Number three, he called for change. When God came, he condemned the current religious uppity-ups. He condemned the religious system of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He convicted them about their lifestyle of sin and their lifestyle of hypocrisy. And he called for a change, saying that they had to choose to forsake everything they knew and to rely upon Christ as the one way to heaven. In essence, he came, ruffled their feathers, and showed them their sin. They didn't choose Barabbas to be free. They chose Jesus to die. They weren't saying, well, Barabbas is not that bad of a guy. No, he was bad. But in their mind, they would rather live amongst a murderer than allow someone who convicted them of truth to live. And thus, God's will is done. God's perfect. I'm going to do my best to not make it muddled or confusing. The perfection of God in this passage is his proof that man will turn to his own reprobate, sinful mind to avoid conviction than he will to choose to stay under submission to God's word. Give us Barabbas. It is their choice. It is their place. I'm not going to hop into the what if, the what house. It doesn't matter what if we didn't choose. It doesn't matter what happened and what did happen. The truth is that they were offered a choice of a murderer or the man of God, God in the flesh. And they chose to crucify Christ because they were so angry that he had upset their way of life. They were so angry that he had caused them to to come face to face with truth, only to realize that them themselves were worthless creatures. And he had sat there and he had shown them, in perfect love, might I add, their need for him. And they despised and rejected him and nailed him to a cross. Oh, what a loving Savior. What boggles me further is, statistically and truthfully, these same people yelling, "Give us Barabbas! Crucify him!" sat there and watched him part loaves and fishes. These same people sat there and watched their neighbors who were crippled the next day walking. These same people who were yelling, "Crucify him!" were the same ones who saw blind Bartimaeus see. The same ones saw the leper healed, the lame walk. The same ones who saw the miracle upon miracle upon miracle of truth. The same ones who followed him here crying, "Crucify him." We view the story of the Gospels as a beautiful story because we know how perfect God is. We know how loving he is. We know how wonderful he is. But the truth of the matter is, he came to town and he upset everyone's life of sin, and they hated him for it. Jesus, the perfect Savior, healing the blind, healing the lame, they hated him? Yes, they did. Why? Because he convicted their way of life. They didn't choose Barabbas. They chose to kill Christ. Now, we know they didn't kill Christ. We know that he gave himself up to die as the perfect Son of God, the perfect Lamb, the only sacrifice for our sin. We know that this was God's will the entire time. And we know that God knew that he was to send his Son into a world who would hate him, despise him, and kill him. And he would do, and his Son agreed, Christ agreed to do all of that because he loved us. Well, could he have? Yes, he could have. He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have freed himself at any time. We know the story where he was about to be stoned, and he walked right through them, literally. We know his power. We know his ability. We know how wonderful of a Savior he is. Yet he's sitting here, submitting, knowing when that choice is made, being an all-knowing God-man, knowing that they're going to say, "Give us Barabbas." He's waiting for the choice. He goes to the trials knowing they have nothing against him, seeing the false witnesses. Can you imagine for a second what it is like to be Christ, who knows every man's sin and knows their heart, to watch someone coming toward you knowing they're fixing a lie so that you can look bad? It's insane. Can you imagine him looking into the eyes of the Roman soldiers knowing their eternal destination? Can you imagine him allowing them to pin him to a cross and drive nails through his hands and feet, knowing that he loves them? And he's going to go pay for their sin and give them a chance. Can you imagine him seeing Barabbas go free, knowing that they chose him over a murderer? Even Pilate tries to persuade them, saying, "Why?" Even Pilate washes his hands of it, knowing this is not right. This man shouldn't have to die. This man shouldn't have to be crucified. Why is he facing one of the worst punishment ever imaginable? He's an innocent man. Why would you do this? He upset their religious system. He convicted their lifestyle. And he called for change. How often do we find ourselves with a choice between Barabbas and Christ? I'm not going to try to spiritualize this. I'm not trying to hop in the what ifs. But I want to tell you that this scenario, this unjust trial, this unfair situation happens all the time in the life of a Christian. As those who are saved and having eternal destination for sure going to heaven. As those who know that we are in the palm of God's hand and everything He is to us is a heavenly, loving Father who has nothing but greatness for us, nothing but good intentions for us. How often do we deny His will in our lives for our own choices? How often do we see the Holy Spirit saying, "There's a fork in the road here. You know what God would have you to do. and you know what you want to do. How often does the Holy Spirit say, which are you going to follow? And how often do we say, our will? What about Christ's will? Don't want to do it. Well, that's nothing like... That's exactly the same situation. Well, Christ isn't fixing to be crucified. He died for you. And you reject His will. Let me clarify. He died for us and we reject His will for our life on a constant basis. I know in my life, there are times that I meet obvious forks in the road where I know what God would have me to do. But I don't want to. It looks hard. It's not fun. It's going to require sacrifice. It goes against my personal religious system. It convicts me of my current lifestyle. And that fork in the road calls me to change directions. How often do I fight God and say, let me have the wheel. Give me my life. Get out of here. But bless me, please. How often do I fight God and say, Lord, I know your will, but I don't want to do it. Well, we don't think that. We do. I know I do. Maybe I'm just worse than you guys. But I'm human. And I find that my life, just like in the songbook, hymn number 2, Come Thou Fount, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. I find myself constantly saying, Lord, here's my heart. Take, seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Take my heart. Take myself. One of the greatest inventions ever created is that little monkey backpack with the rope on it for your little kids. Attach it to them. You're like, they're going nowhere. You're the bigger force of nature there. You walk that way. In some instance, they're following you, whether it's on the floor being dragged or by their own fruition. Greatest invention ever created. They need it for people. Like grown-ups. Like wives need them for husbands in hardware stores. And husbands need them for wives inside of any other store. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Oh, the situation of life, we see it so often. We're at a fork in the road, at a unique point in our life where we're given a choice. Where we're given a choice. You know how rare free choice is? In the life of an unbeliever, what do you mean? They don't have an advocate. They don't have a conscience. They don't have a Holy Spirit guiding them. Their choices are really just completely sinful. When they get convicted, though, choice appears. But as a Christian, as a child of God, we make choices every day of what to do. We have the choice of a daily life with Christ, a daily walk with Him. We daily see the Holy Spirit saying, there are two paths here, God's way or your way. What are you going to do? So often we say, give us Barabbas. God, let me have my way today. I don't have a lot of experience with this because I don't have any kids. Well, young kids. But when I worked with the 2-year-olds, they're not Legos, they're blocks that you can build stuff with. And I enjoy building. So the kids, when they knew I could build pretty well, they'd bring me the bucket of the Legos, building blocks. And they'd say, build me a castle. I'd build them a castle. Well, you get about 75% way done with the castle, and they realize what you're doing, how easy it is, and they're going to finish it because they want to be the one to finish the castle. And they'll say, hey, let me finish it. Let me do it. And I'm like, okay. Usually, they're a little more muscle mass than they are brain mass, and they'll knock it over. They'll topple, and they'll have this sad look on their face. Like, it broke. Well, you broke it. But they were so adamant, saying, I can do that. Let me do it. Let me do it. And they mess it up. Well, then they say, can you build me another one? And maybe it's just my imagination, but every time I mess up, as I walk with Christ, I'm like, I broke it. Can you make me another one? Every time I face this choice, and I adamantly say, give me Barabbas, my own way. Let me take the wheel, God. And then I come back and say, I broke it. Holy Spirit, I messed up. I'm not talking like big pitfall sins. We think of sin like, well, now he's addicted to something. No. We think of, well, you wrecked your life, you ruined your marriage. No. Sometimes it's a simple choice of doing something in pride. Sometimes it's a simple choice of us saying, I don't want to be convicted today. So I'm not going to walk this path. They crucified Christ for the simple reason that he convicted their lifestyle. They were willing to live with a murderer, a thief, a who knows what all, who would physically endanger them because they were so rebellious in their own hearts toward the change he required. How dare he come into my temple, some Sadducee would say. How dare he come into my temple and begin preaching about a wicked heart? How dare he call me an empty sepulcher with dead man's bones, a whitened sepulcher with dead man's bones? How dare he tell me what I really am? The chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The chief priests and elders, the religious leaders, were in the multitude stirring up trouble, saying, crucify that guy. Crucify him. Get in the mob frenzy. Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. If you were to think about our personal religious system, it's selfish. I know mine is. It's prideful. It's arrogant. It's nothing of Christ. And if I were to look at my life and the choices I had to come upon, every time I choose God's way, I end up losing something. And I'm being a little facetious there. Every time I choose God's way, I got to sacrifice something, like my pride. Every time I submit to God's word, I have to sacrifice something, like my time. Every time I submit, God calls me to change. Ugh, it's exhausting. Sometimes you just want to say, give me Barabbas. There's an old song. I don't know how old it is, to be honest. But it says, sin will take you farther than you want to go, leave you longer than you want to stay, and cost you far more than you want to pay. That's sin in general. And for us to meet the choice where the Holy Spirit says, God or your own sinful desires. We know it's an unfair trial. We know it's unjust. We know in our heart of hearts that what the Lord has for us is perfect and best. And we still say, but that sin is enticing. I want it. The sad part about this is that God knows what we're going to choose. And He chooses to love us anyway. That's crazy. That's unfathomable. We talked this last Sunday in the adult class about the love of God, how it is impartial. It has no strings attached and how it knows our downfalls and loves us anyway. It's the love of God that looks at a child of God who God knows that child is going to grieve him, who God knows that child is going to mess up, who God knows that child is going to choose to rebel against him, to walk away from him. And he says, I love you anyway. We meet this choice and God knows what's going to happen. He knows that so often we say, give us our own way. Give us our own desire. We don't care what it costs. We don't care. We are tired of being convicted. We are tired of being told what we need to do. We are tired of being controlled. Give us our own way. And it's like putting a toddler in the driver's seat going 90 miles an hour. There's no good ending. Every time this time of year comes around, this story hits my heart. And I keep thinking about it. Literally a week from now, thousands of years ago, they stood up and said, give us Barabbas. Literally, they stood up and they say, crucify him. Literally, they nailed him to a cross to ease their conscience. Literally, they were willing to condemn an innocent man. They knew he was innocent. And they answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and our children. We know what we're doing. We're going to do it anyway. Crucify him." He had dinner with his disciples the last time before he resurrected. He was headed to a cross next to men and women yelling at him, spitting at him, pulling his beard. He submitted himself to the crucifixion process. He submitted himself to the false accusations. He submitted himself and he fulfilled his will by letting man have it their way. Perfect, wonderful, mighty God he is. The choice wasn't about Barabbas. It was about Christ. No logical person says, "I want the criminal, please. Yes, please." This is a choice. They were so hateful against the conviction that Christ brought. They were so filled with their own pride that they would rather kill an innocent man, murder an innocent man, than they would to let him go free and continue to convict and to cause them to change. I think about it every year. I'm looking forward to next week, Easter. It's not about the rabbit with running around with the ears and the, I don't know how at rabbits lay eggs, they don't. It's not about the bunny. It's not about the grape juice. It's not about the bread. The whole season is about Christ. The whole Bible is about Christ. The story isn't about Barabbas. It's about us and Christ. Because even though we're not shouting "crucify him" in our heads, in our hearts, we will so often choose our own way to avoid God's conviction. "Oh, I know. I know. Preacher, brother, I know. If I submit to God's will, he'll send me to China. Or he'll send me as a missionary to some godforsaken place like Odessa." No, I'm teasing you. "I know if I tell Lord, I'll follow you, I'll do your will, he'll change me." "I know if I surrender to his will, I'm not in control. I'd rather have Barabbas give me my own way." Your own way is going to hurt you. Your own way is going to harm you. Your own way is going to destroy you. I don't care. Give us Barabbas. Give us what we want. All he did was love them. All he did was show them they needed him. All he did was show them their need for his love. But when faced with the truth that their own way could not sanctify, save, and sustain them, they chose instead to crucify the conviction being presented to them. "Get him out of our lives. Get him away from us." That'll solve the problem. Jesus was guilty of three things: upsetting their religious system, convicting their lifestyle, and calling them to change. To be honest, he was guilty of one thing: loving them beyond what they deserved. Christ has always been guilty, and I don't mean actually guilty. He's always been guilty of just one thing: loving us and wanting what's best for our lives. "Well, he'll change me. He'll put me in charge of a Sunday school class and make me..." No. He'll love you. He'll convict you. He'll cause you to change. That choice between Barabbas and Christ, our own will our own sinfulness and His way happens in our lives every day. Well, we're not murdering anybody. No. Not in our minds. But it was our sin that we just chose instead of His will that nailed His Son, our Savior, to that cross. I'm not trying to guilt trip you. I'm trying to be honest. Because I do it. I'm not trying to show us how dirty we are because we need to convict in our hearts and repent for the Passover and be ready for Easter. No, I'm just trying to be real with you. The Barabbas situation happens in my life every day. I wake up having to choose to deny my own self. Paul says it best, I die daily. It's exhausting. That's why he gives us his comforter, his strength, his power. Pilate says unto them, who do you choose? And they said, give us Barabbas. The Holy Spirit saying unto you, what are you going to do? What do you choose? Your way or my will? One's perfect. One's literally destructive. To prepare for Easter, to prepare our hearts for the Passover, I hope you all come. Those who are members of the church are here next week. It'll be a sweet time together. But help you understand, they didn't choose Barabbas. They just didn't want Christ. I face that in my life, and I hope you understand I'm trying to be human here. I am human, don't worry. I'm trying to be human. Just tell you that I get it. But I also know that you have the exact same Lord and Savior I do. The exact same love. He doesn't love me more than He loves you. He may have a couple more angels making me not do something stupid. That's just because of His love. The Holy Spirit's a person, not a dosage. I'm not more spiritual than you are. We're the exact same. We all need to make that choice. And as you approach Easter, what better time to choose now to deny your own desires and to say, I choose Christ. I choose His way. Oh, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you dearly. You're not in control anymore. You're not. Great. I haven't been doing that well by myself. He's better at it than I am. Who will you choose? Your own way or God's will? That's what I got for you.